Thank you, Brother Alvin. Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
It's really a great pleasure to be with you again and realize that the storm is over and there's a better day ahead. I did appreciate very much the prayer that Brother Harris offered this morning, and God would give me the, I don't know the words he used, but the ability to convey or speak to you the words that the Lord has given to me. And that's always been a big burden to me. I think my sophomore English teacher brought that to my attention about as much as anything in my life ever has. I'm trying to teach us English, which was kind of difficult, trying to teach me English, let alone trying to learn Spanish. But he said one day, to demonstrate, to choose our words very carefully, he gave an example of a young man who was trying to compliment his sweetheart. And he said, "When I look at you, your face would stop a clock." And she was quite insulted. I can imagine so. But what he really wanted to convey to her was, "When I look at you, time stands still." And so the meaning of the words are quite similar. The thing they convey is altogether different. And I would like this morning to bring to you the thoughts that have come to my mind from the 13th chapter of Matthew, and also from a dream that my father had many years ago. The 13th chapter of Matthew, at least half of it, is concerned with the parables. About three of them are the parables of the sower. And we start out in the third verse, "And he spake to many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Skipping down then to the 24th verse. Another parable. "Put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. And while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. And the servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together into the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles, and burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn." And now we drop down to the 37th verse. "And he answered and said to them, He that soweth the seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, shall cast them to the furnace of fire, and there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. With ears to hear, let him hear. I do not remember exactly when my father had this dream, but quite some years ago, because he's been gone now about 15. But he grew up on a farm in Iowa, eastern Iowa, and western Iowa and eastern Nebraska, rather, that area. And he loved the farm. Though in most of my life, he never had the opportunity to do so. But he said he was standing at the edge of a field, a wheat field. It was white, just perfect for harvest. And he wanted to go into that field and begin the harvest. But he was told, no. You have to wait till that gate is open. When that gate is open, then you may. I'm not going to tell you the rest of the details in specifics, but the things he saw when the gate was opened was not exactly what we wanted to see. And so this morning, with these and other scriptures, I would like to help us to understand what our part and our responsibility is in the work of the Lord. Let us turn now to Luke, the 10th chapter, the first 11 verses. After these things, the Lord also appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Now remember, if you remember back when I read in Matthew, they said the field was the world. Let me go back so I don't misquote it here. I kind of agree sometimes with what our old brother Levi Maley said. You know, my memory is what I forget with, and so I don't want to misquote. The field is the world, and the seed that is sown are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. And the devil has sowed the seed that brought the tares. And the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Remember here it said, I just read to you, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Didn't say the reapers, said the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into this harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among the wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into your house ye enter, first say, peace be unto this house. If the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn unto you again. In the same house remains eating and drinking such things as they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and to whatsoever city ye enter, they receive you, and eat such things that is set before you. And when they returned, these 70, when they returned, in the 17th verse says, and the 70 returned again in joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I want to put my emphasis on what he told them to rejoice over. Not what they could do. Not what they had power over. But rejoice because their names are written in heaven. Now, when Christ first began his labors in the ninth chapter of Matthew, starting with the 35th verse, this was after Christ had performed quite a few miracles, and the Pharisee was trying to catch him up. But Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. And the marginal references said they fell down and was asleep. They didn't faint, they were just tired and they went to sleep. And were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now he's not sending forth angels to harvest. He's sending forth laborers into his field. And that is you and I. That is you and I, the laborers that he sent into his field. With that in mind, let us go to the 1 Corinthians in the 3rd chapter. Starting with the first verse, Paul speaking to the Corinthians, he says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, the minister by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gave the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labors. But we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and we are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another buildeth thereon, but let another man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, in the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. This Apollos that Paul was speaking of here, in the Trying to find a word where it's got it written. In the 18th chapter of Acts, and Paul went over into Corinth. He was met there by a couple, a man and his wife. Called Aquila and Priscilla. And then starting with the first verse, and said, "These things Paul departed from Athens and came into Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, later came from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome and came unto him. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And then he moved on." And in the I lost my place again. In the same chapter, 18th chapter, and the 23rd verse. Talking about Paul, and after he spent some time there, he departed and went over to the country of Galatia and Phrygia, and in order to strengthen all the disciples. A certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came into Ephesus. And this man was instructed in the ways of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things that the Lord, taught things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded to him more perfectly the way of God. And when he was disposed to pass to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he had came helped them much, which had believed through grace, that he might be convinced, he mightily convinced the Jews, that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. My point is here, Paul planted, Apollos watered. And where did Apollos come from? He came from the tutoring of Aquila and Priscilla. Though he had been baptized, presumably here, by John the Baptist, he had not had the opportunity to know Christ himself and the place that he played in the plan of God. And so Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and expounded to him more perfectly what the gospel was all about. And he went forth and he watered the things that Paul had planted. Who is Paul? The one that planted. Who is Apollos? He was the one that watered. And who was it that taught Apollo? Aquila and Priscilla. We all have a part to play. And none of us can say that I am more important than you, or you are more important than your neighbor, or that your work is better than theirs, or more significant. You know, we work quite diligently, it seems, with a little group down in Perrier. But over the years, we've seen it deteriorate because of age and those have gone on to meet God. And I was told here some months ago now by one of the elderly that still remain. Said, well, you need to talk to some of these younger ones. Us older people, we're going on. I said, well, you just tell me where to go. Tell me where I can go talk to someone, where I can find someone. As yet he hasn't done it. And try as I might, or as we might, because it's not been me alone. There's been many who have labored there and sought to find the lost sheep, those who have strayed, those who fell among thorns, as we read there in the first parable, was choked out with cares of the world and such. It's been almost of no avail. But yet it's been our responsibility, as we read in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, to feed and to nourish that what is there. At one time, Sister Robin had told me that they couldn't understand. She works for a first person he calls Dr. Joe. Why that we would travel 500 miles from Independence to Perrier, Tennessee, for just one or two people. Don't we understand that? Yes, they're God's people, and they have to be cared for. Christ said that he would leave the 99 and go and search for the one lost sheep, just one, until he find it. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, starting with 11 verse, Paul says, speaking, and he here is God. Well, going back to, maybe I should go back to about the third verse and read a few verses there first. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope and your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father over all, who is above all and through you all and in you all. But to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And then going over to the 11th, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to a unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love and grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together, and the joint supplieth according to effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to the work of all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned of Christ. If it so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness, the true holiness, and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that steal no more, or rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to them that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed forth out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you in all malice. Be ye kind-hearted, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, giving one another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Yes, we're all one body. And he did not send apostles to all. It says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors and teachers. All of those who have taken upon them the name of Christ do not have pastors. Sad to say. They're scattered here and they're scattered there. And sometimes it would seem that that's the way they want it. But nevertheless, it did not relieve me and it did not relieve you from the responsibility of edifying and strengthening them in the body of Christ until we all grow together, not separately, but we all grow together into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. Aquila and Priscilla were not apostles. They were not prophets. They were not a pastor. But they were a teacher. They taught him. They taught Apollos. And so we each have a responsibility to do our part. And as he said over here later there in about the 29th verse, that no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may be minister grace unto the hearers. I started out by telling you that I was concerned about the words that I use. And that's what it's saying here. No corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth. That would be for edification and to minister the grace of God unto the hearers, unto you, and to wherever else I may go. There is an old saying that we need to walk our lives and live our lives very carefully, because we may be the only Bible that some will ever read. I'm reminded of a sermon of Brother Roger Bruner some time ago. He was in one place and they said, now, and he didn't tell us what the subject was, but there was some subject that came up and said, well, what do you think about this subject on this point? And his response was, I think we better go read the Bible, see what it says. No, I just want to know what you think. He said, I still think we better go read the Bible and see what it says. You know, Christ didn't just tell them whatever he wanted to say. He said, I have told you nothing save what my Father first told me. And I and my fellow members of the ministry can do no less. We can only tell you what God first told us. The gospel is not mine. It's not Brother Harris's. Not Brother Nicholas's. The gospel is the word of Christ who God gave him. And so that's the only thing that we can tell you is what that says. And Paul here in his letter to the Ephesians, I think, point out pretty clearly how it is that we can walk in that path. The things that we should put away. And go back and read it again. I know that you did not get everything as I went through. But study it and see where we can improve ourselves and to be diligent in fulfilling our responsibilities. John in the 4th chapter, 34th verse. This is one of Christ's experiences and sayings, following his experience at the well with the Samaritan woman who asked for, when he asked her for a drink of water, and you know, he told her about that the water he had would, if you drank it, it would never thirst, and so on. But while he was waiting, the disciples tried to persuade Christ to eat something because they thought he was hungry. And he said, starting with the 32nd verse, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." Therefore, the disciples said, one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" And, somebody else must have fed him. But Jesus said to them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish this work. Say not ye, there is yet 4 months, and even then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and giveth his fruit into life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap, that whereon ye bestoweth no labor, other man's labors, and ye are entered into their labors. Let me read that again. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. I'm reminded again of what I think it was Brother Frank said when he went to the Philippines, and Brother Mike McGee. See, we went there expecting to have to convert those people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in talking to them, we couldn't find anything that they didn't already know. We couldn't tell them anything that they didn't know. God had been there first. They was just looking and waiting for somebody to come that was going to stand in what the Bible said. They were just waiting for that. And when they found out that those apostles taught the Bible and the Book of Mormon in very deed and word, they were ready. And he said, we tried to find some reason not to baptize them because we didn't want to rush too quick. And there was no reason. There was no reason. God had been there first. He gave the increase, and they performed the ordinances of the gospel to bring them into the kingdom. Let me turn to the 14th chapter of Alma for a moment, in closing probably. Starting with the 80th verse, but first, you know, there was 4 sons of Mosiah. They refused to take upon them the kingdom of his father, Messiah, because they felt a responsibility to go to the Lamanites, who were their enemies and had been for years trying to wipe them out or to kill them off, to teach them the gospel of Christ, to convert them to peace and joy and happiness. And their mission was successful. Very successful. Miraculous. Read the story there just prior to the 14th chapter of Alma if you want to. But starting with the 8th verse, "And now I ask," this is Ammon speaking, "what great blessings hath he bestowed upon us? Can ye tell? Behold, I answer for you, for our brethren, the Lamanites, were in darkness, yea, even the darkest abyss. But behold, now many of them are brought to behold the marvelous light of God." And this is the blessing which hath been bestowed upon us, that we have been made instruments in the hands of God to bring about this great work. Behold, thousands of them do rejoice and have been brought into the fold of God. Behold, the field is ripe, and the blessings, and blessed are ye, for ye did thrust in the sickle and did reap with your mites. Yea, all the day long you did labor. And behold, the number of your sheaves, they shall be gathered into the garner together in their place, that the storm cannot penetrate to them. Yea, neither shall they be driven from fierce winds, whithersoever the enemy listeth to carry them. But behold, ye are the hands of the Lord of the harvest, and they are his. And he will raise him up at the last day. Blessed be the name of our God. Let us sing his praise. Let us give thanks unto his holy name, for he hath worked righteousness forever. For if we had not come out of the land of Zarahemla, these of our dearly beloved brethren who have so dearly beloved us would still have been racked with a hatred against us. Yea, they would also have been strangers to God. Can we do any less? Isn't that a challenge and a reward for us to look for? That we could bring those to Christ who are in darkness. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Leslie. I want to remind you of a couple of things. The Spanish service this afternoon, speaker will be Randy Sheldon. The proposed open house for the Wheaton home that had been scheduled for today has been postponed until later in the spring. But there is an open house at Aubrey Case's home for Lisa. It's the graduation open house. And those of you that are going to take part in the Generation Found Care Package project, there will be a sign-up list on the bulletin board, so check the bulletin board. We're going to close this morning with hymn number 155.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Our righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for this thy house, for thy gospel, for the word which has been recorded for us, for thy Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that you go with us as we leave this service, that you go with us in our activities of the day as we dedicate it to you, to come again to the other services to praise thy name and thy high and holy throne. We pray for those that are sick or afflicted or in need of help or aid. We pray for those that have been administered to this morning that they will receive that blessing they stand in need in. We pray for the peoples of the world in the areas of devastation, particularly in Southeast Asia. And we ask that you go with our own, our young men and women that are in the harm's way in the countries of conflict, Afghanistan, Iraq. We thank you, O Lord, for thy presence, that you have created thy gospel, thy gift to us. Forgive us of our sins and go with us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.